Hare Krishna. So in the previous verse, Lord Shri Krishna is telling Arjuna that how a knowledgeable person works, that is, working without getting attached to the results, and how an ignorant person, a person who is not knowledgeable, not learned, how he works by completely getting attached to the results. And now if suppose Arjuna is asking a question, so Krishna, tell me, how should a knowledgeable person deal with the ignorant person? What should be the dealings? Can you tell me? Can you explain something about it? Krishna is going to explain that. That is shloka number 26. It goes like this. Na buddhi bhedam janayed ajnanam karma sanginam joshayet sarva karmani vidvan yuktah samacharan. So here, Lord Shri Krishna, he is telling that ajnanam karma sanginam, the agyas, the ignorant ones. And how are they? They are karma sangi. They are attached to the fruitive results of their prescribed duties. And what are we not supposed to do? Or in general, what a learned man not supposed to do with them? It's very clearly given. Na buddhi bedam janayed. One shouldn't go and disrupt their minds or intelligence. Then what are we supposed to do? How the dealing should be? A learned person and a person in ignorance is given here. Vidwan, a learned person. What he should do? Yuktaha samacharan. He shouldn't go and stop them. Hey, stop, stop, what you're doing is wrong. He shouldn't do that. But then what he's supposed to do is yukta samacharan. He has to set an example. He has to practice nicely and he has to show, set an example. That is yukta samacharan. And joshayet sarva karmani. It's not just setting an example, but along with that, joshayet sarva karmani. He should engage those ignorant men in various activities in devotional service. So in the previous video, we spoke about karma kanda, sakama karma yoga and nishkama karma yoga. Let me take one step ahead and talk about jnana yoga. Now, if you see, this entire chapter is titled as Karma Yoga. But then you will notice that in almost every purport, Prabhupada is talking about Bhakti Yoga. And we are also speaking about Bhakti Yoga. Why? Let's discuss that. So, Jnana Yoga or Jnana Yogi, a perfected Jnana Yogi or a Jnana Yogi who is on a very higher platform, he takes Karma Sannyas. Now, what do you mean by Karma Sannyas? It's not just giving up the office work. It's not just giving up the family. It's about giving up all the rituals, rules and regulations also. But then, if suppose Arjuna has a question that, see, we have to anyway set an example. Let me set an example of renunciation. Why should I set an example of working? But then, for Jnana Yoga, for a person to come to the platform of Jnana Yoga, his heart should be completely purified from two things. One is the proprietorship, that this is mine. And second is detachment from the results. Oh, sorry, attachment to the results. The person should be completely detached from the results. So these are the two things. He should lose the proprietorship mode or attitude. And second is he should be detached from the results of the work. So only then the person can actually come to the platform of Jnana Yoga and then take Karma Sannyas. But then, why Krishna is speaking all this? Even if the example is set for taking Karma Sannyas, that is Jnana Yoga, not everyone is qualified around to come to that platform. So Krishna is saying that we have to set an example for common public to such an extent that they should be able to follow. It's not about we set a very high example and they're not able to come to that platform. And even if they try to do it by imitating, they will actually fall down. They'll be ruined completely. So here, very nicely, Krishna is talking about how should a knowledgeable person, a vidwan, a learned person, deal with agya, that is ignorant men. So let's see what Prabhupada is telling in the purports now. Through fruitive activities and sense gratification regulated by the Vedic rituals, one is gradually elevated to Krishna consciousness. See, one thing should be clear, that when we are discussing Bhagavad Gita, hardly we are talking about atheistic people. Hardly we are talking about those people who don't believe in Shastra, and we are also not talking about those people who believe in Shastra but don't follow Shastra. Here we are talking about people who believe in Shastra and do sense gratification. We are talking about that category of people. So it's a very high category. But then we want to get rid of that category also. We want to go higher than that. So here it is given. So there are many, many people now who do some rules and regulations, follow the rules and regulations, do some rituals for one thing, that is sense gratification. But they are much, much better as compared to all the categories of people lower than them, be the atheistic ones, be the ones, you know, who are completely rejecting the Shastra, be the ones who know the regulations of Shastra but not follow. So they are much, much greater than all of them. Why? That's what is told here. Slowly and steadily, the person who is doing sense gratification, following the rules and regulations of Shastra, he will be elevated to the higher consciousness. And finally, he'll come to the highest platform, that is Krishna consciousness. So, following the rules and regulations of Shastra is very, very important, even if someone wants to do sense gratification. Why? Why so? Why is it that we have to follow Shastra? Because all rituals, all performances of sacrifice and everything that is put into the Vedas, that is Shastra, including all directions for material activities, are meant for understanding Krishna, who is the ultimate goal of life. Vyasadeva, who has written all the Vedic scriptures, is Krishna himself. And Krishna says in 15th chapter, 15th verse, Vedeshya sarve rahameva vedyah. It's very clear. He's saying that I am the compiler of Vedas, I am the knower of the Vedas. And then if suppose someone is asking him, so what is the purport of all the Vedas? What is the essence of all the Vedas? And Krishna, very, very confidently, he's telling, the purpose of all the Vedas is to know me. This is the clarity of Bhagavad Gita, given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So what is the essence of all the Vedic scriptures? To know Krishna, to understand Krishna. And finally, with our practice, with the mercy of the Lord, attaining the Lord and going back home back to Godhead. That is what is the goal. So when someone is following the Shastra very nicely, following the rules and regulations very nicely, what happens? He gets to know more about the Lord. He gets to know that how can I reach the Lord? He gets to know that how this entire material world is futile and how to break the cycle of birth and death. All these things will be gradually revealed to even that person who is doing sense gratification. But his qualification is what? He's following Shastra to do sense gratification. So that's what is given here. And then, what about the realized souls? A realized soul in Krishna consciousness should not disturb others in their activities or understanding, but he should act by showing how the results of all work can be dedicated to the service of Krishna. So here, when we are talking about realized soul, we are talking about bhakti yogi. Suppose we talk about jnana yogi. Now we go and tell those karma yogis that no, what you're doing is useless. What are you doing? Come to the platform of jnana. And when a person is completely attached to the work and the results, he'll be completely disturbed. His mind will be completely disturbed. And what will happen? He's not qualified to come to jnana yoga. And at the same time, we have disturbed his mind to do what he's doing. So he'll not do that also. So very nicely, we have done one thing. We have removed him from jnana yoga, going higher to the platform of jnana yoga, and also we have removed him from the platform where he was practicing karma yoga. So it's very, very difficult for a person on the platform of karma yoga to come to the platform of jnana yoga, but it's very easy for a person from any platform, be it karma khanda, karma yoga, forget about that, even a person who is atheistic, a person who is papi, a person who is sinful, even he can be pulled directly to bhakti yoga by the mercy of a pure devotee. And that's what is given here. So what is a realized soul supposed to do? What is he expected to do, a pure devotee? Very easily, it is given here. He should act by showing how the results of all work can be dedicated to service of Krishna. He can set an example, showing, yes, see, I'm also doing the same thing what you're doing. But then, what am I doing with the results? I'm detached from the results and I'm offering those results to Krishna. I'm working for the pleasure of Krishna. Next thing that is spoken here is, although the ignorant man is not to be disturbed in his activities, a slightly developed Krishna conscious person may directly be engaged in the service of the Lord without waiting for other Vedic formulas. Actually, to come to the platform of Jnana Yoga, the person's heart should be purified. Tell me one thing, what qualification all of us have? All of us, it's a known fact, it's an open secret that our hearts are contaminated. We are not pure, but the good thing is, we want to get purified. It's like we have thrown a ball up. So somehow the other time it will reach some place, you know, where we want the ball to hit, right? Some destination. But as of now, the ball is down. But that is the direction is correct. So that's how we are. So we are somewhere very at a very low platform. We are practicing bhakti. We have started practicing bhakti. It means we are going higher and higher and higher. One day we'll reach the destination. That is a very, very important point. And these personalities whom Prabhupada is talking about, the ones who are completely ignorant, but they have some inclination to practice bhakti, who are not purified. Yes. So, having that inclination towards bhakti, they can be pulled towards bhakti. But then, if their hearts are contaminated, they can be never pulled to the platform of Jnana Yoga. And look at the miracle what Prabhupada did. Old man, 70 years old, when he is going to West, it's not that they were karma yogis there. They were ayogis. They were doing nothing there. They were just doing one thing, making sure that every single day, all four regulative principles are broken very nicely. No meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex, no intoxication. All these four regulative principles, they were broken very nicely every single day by each and every person there in that place where Prabhupada went to give the message of Krishna consciousness. But since Prabhupada was a pure devotee, he had that power, he had that purity to pull all of them to the platform of Bhakti Yoga. And how did he do that? He engaged them in service of Krishna. Prabhupada gave them tasks. He would tell that you go and open center at this place, you go and open center at that place. And then he would say that, okay, now this month we have to distribute these many books. Sometimes the number would be huge. First time when Krishna book was printed, if I'm not wrong, Prabhupada asked them to print 10,000 books. And they were all confused that, you know, who will read, you know, these books? And those books were printed. And look at Prabhupada's vision. Those books were printed and all the books were sold. They had to print it again. So in this way, we understand that what Prabhupada did, he did this miracle, a complete miraculous activity where he engaged all the ignorant men in service of the Lord. And with time, all these ignorant men, in fact, ignorant is still a higher word, all the sinful men, they elevated themselves, they purified themselves and came to the platform where they started feeling that love towards Krishna and practice Bhakti Yoga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to him. All glories to the pure devotees who actually do this task of engaging the ignorant men in service of Krishna. Here it is said, for this fortunate man, there is no need to follow the Vedic rituals, because by direct Krishna consciousness, one can have all the results one would otherwise derive from following one's prescribed duties. Why these Vedic rituals have to be done? We have discussed before. Just to purify our heart. But then, if we are fortunate, all of us are fortunate, we are talking about those people who are fortunate, but little more fortune is needed about them. So if they're really fortunate, what will happen? A pure devotee will enter their life. A devotee will enter their life and then, you know, give them some prasad, give them, you know, some card for chanting Mahamantra, call them to home and feed them prasad, or call them for Ratha Yatra, Jagannath Ratha Yatra, ask them to pull the Rath. So all these things a devotee will do to make sure that that person who is ignorant but at the same time fortunate to have inclination towards Krishna consciousness becomes a devotee. It's a great responsibility on all of us, the students of Gita. What is that responsibility? We have to preach. All of us have to preach the message of Bhagavad Gita. All of us have to preach that Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead and the goal of life is to attain Krishna this very lifetime by breaking the cycle of birth and death. And how can we do that? By chanting Mahamantra. Preaching is very simple. It's not that we have to give a big class or something. We can just go and give them a card with Mahamantra. We can tell them, no, this is the Mahamantra. If you get time, at least chant once a day. At least once. And then, no, even if they chant once a day, at least their journey begins on the path of Krishna consciousness. But then, suppose that person is like, no, all this I cannot do. Once a day, I don't have time. So what can be done? Prasad is something which everyone likes. We can carry prasad with us all the time. Maybe we can make nice laddus and offer it to Krishna and that can be there with us. And we can just tell them, you know, take, it's my birthday, you know, you have it. Just by having that prasadam, what will happen? That person's spiritual life starts. And who started? It's the person who gave the laddu. And we can organize big programs in our homes. Say we can say it's a birthday of our kid, or say it's a marriage anniversary or whatever it is. We can invite devotees, we can invite some senior devotee to give class, and then we can invite people around us, you know, in the apartment or wherever. And when we do that, when everyone comes, they have come for what? They have come for party. And what are we doing? Sankirtan party. And because of that, their spiritual life starts. So the point that is made here is very clear, that we devotees have to be very intelligent and innovative to make sure that we help people to come to the path of devotional service. And anyone who does that, Srila Prabhupada, our spiritual master, will be pleased. Lord Sri Krishna will be pleased. So yes, along with chanting, along with reading, hearing, along with having prasadam, one more responsibility that is there with us, a very, very important one, is preaching. We have to keep preaching in our own innovative ways. The goal is simple. The goal is, I want to help this person, ignorant, agya, to get closer to Krishna. So this is what we have to do. But now, Krishna is going to talk about what these ignorant people think about themselves. What do they think about themselves? And whenever they do any activity, what is their attitude? That Krishna is going to discuss in the next shloka. So let's see that in the next video. Hare Krishna.